Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Hit the Island. Leading off today, Apple has released iOS 17 Beta 2, which comes with a few changes and new features compared to what was released following WWDC a few weeks ago. But right off the bat, it's important to remember is that the second beta of a major iOS update is usually the least exciting. This is because Apple hasn't had time to address major concerns and feedback from Beta 1 just yet. In fact, iOS 17 Beta 2 was compiled on June 10th, less than a week after WWDC. So iOS 17 Beta 3 will likely be far more interesting, with bigger changes and features. But nonetheless, in iOS 17 Beta 2, there are some tweaks to the software update interface and settings, while Apple has also added support for tapping two iPhones together to initiate an AirDrop transfer. This is something that was announced at WWDC, but wasn't available in Beta 1. Crossfade for Apple Music now works as expected, and offers a slider to control the length of the fade between songs. And iPadOS 17 Beta 2 enables the ability to shift-click in Spotlight to add a new window to your current workspace with Stage Manager. We've got a full rundown of all of the new features with screenshots in iOS 17 Beta 2 at the link in the show notes below. But in other news, if you're not running iOS 17 Beta just yet, Apple is rolling out iOS 16.5.1 to iPhone users, bringing bug fixes and improvements, especially in regards to security. Apple says, quote, "This update provides important security fixes and is recommended for all users. It also fixes an issue that prevents charging with the Lightning to USB 3 camera adapter." End quote. Along with iOS 16.5.1, Apple has also released macOS 13.4.1, updates to the Apple Watch, and iOS 15.7.7 for older iPhones that cannot update to iOS 16. All of these updates address two major security vulnerabilities that Apple says were actively exploited in the wild. The first flaw is a vulnerability that allowed execution of arbitrary code with kernel privileges, and the second fix addresses a WebKit vulnerability that allowed maliciously crafted web content to execute arbitrary code. Again, Apple says that it's aware of reports that both of these flaws have been actively exploited, which is why it's so important that you update all of your devices to the latest versions of Apple software today. We are sponsored this week by Hit the Island, one of my favorite games for iPhone, iPad, and even Apple Watch. Download Hit the Island at the link in the show notes and start playing for free. Hit the Island is as simple as it sounds. Hit the island with the ball and score points. But the catch is that the ball speeds up, gets closer, the paddle shrinks, and so much more. Hit the Island offers different levels of progression, special modes for features like pool and catch the ball, and there are different levels, power-ups, and more. Plus an arcade mode for when you just want to play. Hit the Island gets better and more fun with every update it gets, and it gets a lot of updates. You can check out Hit the Island at the link in the show notes below and start playing today for free. My thanks to Hit the Island from Fun Media for sponsoring 9 to 5 Mac Daily, and be sure to share your high scores with me on Twitter. Next up today, Apple has announced a major expansion of its self-service repair program, making the program available for the iPhone 14 lineup, as well as the 13-inch M2 MacBook Air, and the latest MacBook Pro models with M2 Pro and M2 Max inside. This means that Apple is now making tools, parts, and repair manuals for these devices available via its self-service repair website. But maybe more notably, Apple is also changing the system configuration process for iPhone repairs for things like batteries, cameras, Touch ID and Face ID, and more. System configuration is the process after a repair that authenticates genuine Apple parts, updates firmware, and calibrates parts to ensure maximum performance and quality. In the past, people had to call Apple directly to run the system configuration process after they completed a repair, but now Apple is allowing people to initiate system configuration on their own by putting their devices into diagnostics mode and following the on-screen prompts, so users no longer need to contact the self-service repair program team to run that final step of a repair. And last but not least today, when Apple announced Vision Pro at WWDC, the company promised to make a robust set of developer tools available for developers looking to make apps for Vision OS. That day has now arrived, and Apple has announced that the developer tools for Vision Pro are now available, starting with the Vision OS SDK. Using the Vision OS SDK, Apple has said that developers will be able to interact with their apps and the rest of the Vision OS experience using a simulator on their Mac. Developers can build experiences that take advantage of its new spatial computing platform and explore how to bring their existing apps and create all new apps for the platform. Apple also says that it will open developer labs in Cupertino, London, Munich, Shanghai, Singapore, and Tokyo next month for developers. These labs will allow developers to get hands-on time with Vision Pro to test their apps and to work one-on-one with Apple engineers. And finally, also starting next month, Apple will open applications for developers who'd like to receive a Vision Pro developer kit, which can be used for quickly building, iterating, and testing right on the Vision Pro hardware. We've been playing with the Vision OS simulator, and we've got a roundup of the screenshots and interesting tidbits at the link in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow along with me on Mastodon, Twitter, or Instagram at Chance H. Miller. And we'll be back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.